Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I feel like I should set the stage before we get to our passage for today. So just before our passage, Jesus goes to a celebration, to a wedding banquet, that was hosted by a Pharisee leader. At this celebration, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisee leader about the absurdity of not healing on the Sabbath. There's this dialogue, and he points out to the Pharisee, it's my favorite, if your child or ox fell into a well, wouldn't you help pull him out immediately? That's what he says. The Pharisee could not respond. And that leads us to our lectionary passage for today. So listen now for a word of God from Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. Still at the celebration. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat at the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to the other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all of your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In cultures around Israel and Palestine, one of the most important virtues anyone can have is hospitality, the willingness of a person to welcome anyone into his or her home tells a whole lot about a person's character. As Jesus tells this metaphor, this parable, to those gathered, he would have understood that the host in the story would have been obligated to welcome his guests and allow them to sit wherever they chose. However, in the parable, the first guest makes a choice. He sits at a seat that was culturally defined as a prominent one. Of course, the host would not argue. That would be rude. It would be rude for the host to ask a guest to take a different seat. Later, someone else arrives whose societal status was higher than the first guest. And now, we have a problem. The host is forced to ask the first guest to scoochie over, and the first guest is embarrassed in front of everyone. I'm sure the second guest had some really strong feelings about what happened, not to mention a host who is already possibly really uncomfortable now. But here and now, sometimes we just tell people their place in the ranking. Rich and I recently flew to North Carolina thanks to some really cheap airline tickets. We got to choose our seats when we booked, and let me tell you, I was thrilled that we had cheap tickets and got to choose our seats. The travel date came, and we were at the gate waiting to board. They began calling groups to board, and ours said on our ticket that we were basic, which I thought pretty much summarized us. Basic people, probably economy boarding group. After hearing no less than 7 other boarding groups, finally, ours, the very last, was called. Basic is now boarding. I didn't even know that economy could have like 3 levels within it. Sure, it was about taming chaos. But I overheard one woman say, there's nothing like being the very last to board. It was clear that us and the 3 other people who were basic were the lowest on the pecking order. According to biologists, anthropologists, and sociologists, social hierarchy happens naturally among human beings, and sometimes we even emphasize it as a way to create order and structure, to be more productive, or to feel better about ourselves. We use hierarchy and social networking at a wedding party for seating charts, like we find in the passage, like we find now. Well, basically, anytime there's a group. You know, I have to tell you, I'm glad that we have this research because I do love research. But anyone who has gone out with a group of acquaintances, arrived late to the lunchroom at school on the first day, or even those who sat in a meeting at work, or just moved into a retirement facility, knows that there does seem to be a sense of hierarchy and jockeying for power. Even when you're invited in, even when it's your space. But the realm of God has its own social and spiritual order. Luke suggests that instead of focusing so much on hierarchy, it's more about making a law of compassion and living into that. Jesus flips the script. He turns over the social norms and a Pharisee's leaders. Home. The whole system of honor and shame is flipped. We find hospitality as we hear about the role of a host. We learn healthy humility to establish an inclusive environment of all people, a humility that doesn't negate or devalue anyone, but instead values all. Yearns to see the face of Christ truly in every single person. And we find the willingness to even step into a new group. We all know the questions that we ask. Even when we're invited, we pause. We wonder if there is really anything there for us. In the community for us. We wonder who else will be there. Will I be fully accepted? Will my family be judged? We wonder if we will be woven into the fabric of the group or just offered the lip service of the verbal invitation. Jesus' practice of table fellowship becomes a metaphor for the kingdom of God. This all has to do with how we see one another and ourselves in a kingdom that is expressed in this context at a table setting. We're reminded that we all belong to God and invited into God's kingdom, a kingdom that challenges patriarchy, racial disparity, inequality, injustice within systems, but it also challenges each of us individually. For the ways that we actively and passively participate. We can condemn people around us, or we can invite people into a new way of living We can extend this invitational language that's used in the passage to invite people. We know that we are invited by God, and yet we still pause. Sometimes we wonder if God can truly feed the hunger in our souls, our appetite for peace, our craving for wholeness, healing. It is in communion, the sharing of the bread and cup, that we recognize our brokenness. We come to the table with humility and wanting to be nourished. We have to acknowledge individually who we are and who God created us to be. We have to believe it, claim it, own it, live into it. But at the same time, we can't assume that that power, importance, or status is greater than anyone else's. That assumption of position, the people that are going straight to the more powerful seats, are often those that are so used to living in a powerful space that they can't even see why they wouldn't sit there. Dr. Rodney Sadler, professor at Union Presbyterian Seminary, one of my professors when I was there, said the aspects of our identity that would have us assume the right to the higher seat of honor aren't important at God's table, because it is not we who determine worth at God's table. Family. Second Presbyterian Church family. Let each of us, as children of God, accept God's extravagant love. Let us empower and encourage all of our siblings in Christ through radical hospitality. And may the words be lifted from the pages, translate to a voice of compassion and love, and moved into action to join Christ's mission in the world and in our daily lives. Amen.